morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I've looked at some possible questions and objections to or reasons against trusting that the Joshua 1:8 promise is true and true for your life. The promise is keep this book of the law on your lips always. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Well, is that true? If I carefully study and meditate on the Bible and apply it to my life and keep making adjustments to my life so that I'm carefully doing everything written in the Bible, will I be prosperous and successful? That is the question. I believe this is the Word of God. And if God did give this promise, and He is the one who created us and knows everything about us, and so He's the ultimate source for knowing how we can thrive and flourish and be prosperous and successful. And because He's all-knowing and because He's good and always, is truthful, then we could trust what He says. But that's the question. Is this the Word of God? So I've dealt with some common objections or things that cause doubt about this. Let me very quickly outline three areas of evidence. There are more, and I could spend a lot of time developing each of these, but I'm just going to outline three areas of evidence that support that you should believe that this is a promise of God. In fact, it's not blind faith. I don't say I trust the Bible because I'm supposed to, because my parents told me to, because my church leaders growing up said I should. I believe it because of the evidence. I believe it because it is the best explanation for all of the data that is out there. I can't think of any other way that's reasonable, that makes sense, that's rational to understand where the Bible came from other than that it is divine in origin, that God has given us this word because He wants us to be prosperous and successful. So let me give you three areas of evidence. One is history. People in history, people who have trusted in the Bible, who have put their trust in this promise in particular, who have said, you know what, I think as I follow the Bible, that's the key to success in life. And they testify that it is right. In other words, if there were a lot of people who followed the Bible and, you know, after years of doing it, said, oh, that was a terrible mistake, that would be evidence against the Bible. But the people that do follow the Bible throughout their life, I don't know of any that regret it. I mean, you will hear of atheists who grew up in church and will say, oh, you know, that was a waste of my life. But they're not really following the Bible. You don't see any evidence that they were really studying and meditating on the Bible day and night and carefully applying it to their life and obeying it. And, you know, at the end of the day, thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, no one, you know, especially when it comes to things like loving others, does anyone get to the end of their life and they say, oh, I wish I had loved others less. I wish I had lived more selfishly. You know, I wish that I had, not given so much of my time to spend with my children. I wish I had just spent it on myself. No one talks like that when they get to the end of life. So we see this over and over again, that the things the Bible teaches, the people that have tried it and have done it and have walked it will testify to its truthfulness. Paul would be a great example. Paul wrote many of letters in the Bible, and Paul acknowledged that he was not living according to the Bible. But once he was, we have his letters, we have his correspondence, we know how he thought about the scripture, and he is someone who, even though he endured imprisonment and beatings and ultimately was thrown in prison and executed, even awaiting his execution, he could write these beautiful verses in the Bible, talking about rejoicing in the Lord always, talking about how he was just so humbled and overwhelmed with gratitude for being able to be called by God to serve Him. This is what can be true in any person's life. You can have this joy and passion for life, like you see Paul have, as you carefully study and apply the Bible to your life, as Paul did. This is the pattern we see again and again in history. I can testify to it myself. I don't have much time today, but I can tell you that as I have gone through some of the darkest times in my life and most greatest trials. As I've turned to the Bible and applied biblical principles to my life, it's helped me overcome, have victory, come out having confidence that I'm on the path God wants me on. And you can hear many, many testimonies like that. So that's one area of evidence. I've got to keep moving. A second area of evidence why we can believe this promise is true is prophecy, prophecy in the Bible. I don't know how we explain that this is not divine in origin apart from, there's no origin, there's no place this Bible could have come from other than God given the prophecy in the Bible. And so all I need to do is just give one example, and that is the nation of Israel. I've done a whole week on this before of how miraculous the nation of Israel is today. Some people will say, I've never seen a miracle. Just get a globe. Just, look at a map of the world. Look at Israel there. The fact that Israel, the Jewish people, were separated from their homeland, scattered all over the world, and have come back to that land, speaking the Hebrew language again, still observing the Old Testament commands there in the land of Israel, after 1,900 years of enduring persecution and everything else. This is what God promised again and again and again in the Old Testament would happen. And Jesus talked about it too in the New Testament. And it is happening before our eyes. That's just one instance that this is no ordinary book. You can't just toss it in, into a heap of other religious texts that have been written over the centuries. This book is given to us by God. All right, a third area, and this is the most significant. There is testimony that the Bible is the Word of God, and that testimony is valid. What I mean by that is the testimony comes from someone who has the qualifications to give testimony we can trust. Any witness in a courtroom, you're going to want to know, is this a reliable witness or not? There is a reliable witness to the truth of all of the scriptures, including the Joshua 1:8 promise, and that testimony comes from none other than Jesus Christ. And we know about this from multiple sources that talk about what he taught when he was here, the things he said, the things he taught. He always upheld the Bible as the Word of God. And there's something unique about Jesus. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the source of the scriptures. And he verified it. He backed it up by talking about how he was going to die and on the third day be raised again. And when you look at some of the historical evidence for the resurrection, the fact that there's a group of people who saw Jesus die, we know Jesus died, there's a number of reasons why we can prove that historically. He died on the cross, and this group of people, shortly after he died, firmly believed they saw him alive again, that they felt him, touched him, that he appeared to multitudes of people simultaneously. You can't explain this by some kind of vision or hypnosis or any of the kind of wild ideas that have been thrown out there. The only reasonable explanation for the historical data is that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead, fulfilling what he said he would do, and that means we can trust him. He claimed to be God, and he was not crazy, and he was not an evil deceiver. He was actually able to demonstrate that he was God, both in the quality of his teaching and in the fact that he could do miracles and ultimately that he rose from the dead. So when Jesus says, this book is the Word of God, it is the key to prosperity and success, this is basically what he repeats in Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 11, then you can know that you can trust it, that it is reliable. So all of these, and we could add more, are reasons that I just can't get around it. I know that Joshua 1:8 is the key to a prosperous and successful life, and I hope this program encourages you to take that view as well and to seek to study and obey all that the scriptures teach. And we'll pick up here tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.